Okay, if we're all in then, if we can open our Bibles there at John 15, verse 4. And our title for our message this morning is Living on Higher Ground and How to Cope with the Cares of Each Day. And our verse just to lead us into the rest of it, and we'll be looking at it in more detail in a minute, but John 15:4. So living on higher ground. And so living on higher ground, we certainly can't live on higher ground without looking at John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of its own unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. And so last week we looked on living on what it's like living on lower ground when we looked at David, and when he was struggling and his head was towards the ground and he had no look up to heaven, he was so distraught in his thoughts. And then at the end then we saw how he was beginning to look on higher ground, and so we look at that this morning. And let's just first bring to you the words of a hymn that we don't actually know, but expresses these thoughts well. And just goes like that: pressing on the upward way, help me, Lord, new heights to gain today. Lord, lift me up and help me stand. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may be content to stay on lower ground, Lord, my prayer, my aim is that you lead me on higher ground. And, you know, this also is a prayer, isn't it, of admission that we are not where we should be in our walk with the Lord, our service for the Lord. And there, you know, if we're honest, there's more ground to be gained in each of our lives in our walk and our service for the Lord. Indeed, the Lord told Joshua, and this was towards his latter days, you know, that he needed to, there was still more ground to be gained. Now he was talking about physical land and that, but the thought nevertheless applies to us in our spiritual lives too. There's still more ground to be gained. And so Joshua 13 says, you know, this, Lord, you know, there's still more ground to be possessed. So why are we not gaining new heights every day? We might each ask ourselves that question. Not be content on where we are, but to gain new heights every day. And, you know, it boils down to the question of, you know, where the Lord, Solomon, the Lord, when he wrote Proverbs 23, 26, he says, the Lord says to Solomon, my son, give me thine heart. And so it's all the question of the heart, isn't it? And it's the same today, the very, very same. You know, we might look back nearly 3,000 years ago there, or more indeed. And yes, things haven't changed. The Lord wants us to give us him our hearts. And, you know, as Mark Culkin, he's an American missionary, I think, he put it too, you know, he says, if the truth be known, in light of all the personal devotions we keep, the messages we attend, the Bible studies we attend, and our, the conferences we go to and the messages we listen to, we should be on or a lot more further on in our lives for Christ than we are. And, you know, there's no one that can say, well, that doesn't apply to me. And we all need to address that, don't we? And that's why, may I suggest, even, you know, with our weekly fast, you know, that we should, first of all, maybe concentrate on where the Lord can change me or can change you, rather before we can even begin to pray for others. We need to be changed in our way, attitudes as well, and things we hold dear. And, you know, another hymn says, you know, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the Lord I love. And, you know, if only we could channel, you you know, the zeal of our unsaved days when we did pursue everything with a vigor that was contrary to God, if we could channel that same vigor into our Christian lives and walk, you know, what a progress we would make in spiritual things. And, you know, some examples, we cannot even begin to live on higher ground if we don't abide in Christ, as the verse that I just read earlier on reads, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And to abide, you think of a branch on a tree, the trunk of a tree, it can't bear fruit if it's not connected to the tree. If it's broken off, there's no way it can bear any fruit, it just dies. And so it's not a cursory guilt connection that we abide in Christ. It's, we don't treat our best friends that way. You know, we spend more time and looking forward to the presence, abiding in their company and so on. And so a cursory reading of scripture or a mere and daily helps are great. You know, there's invaluable ones like the UCB and Daily Bread and others indeed as well. But, that's not what we should be leaving. That should just be only the beginning. We need to dig deeper if we're to really, truly abide and for the sap to come up and make a difference to our spiritual walk. And so we need to study the word and, don't expect any relationship with God to bear fruit if we don't develop that walk in a more deep way. And, so to do that, of course, will help us live on higher ground. So that's abiding. Another aspect too, and we've often mentioned it, is fellowship. Hebrews 10:15, do not forsake the fellowship of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. But, we often, I've often heard that, if your fellowship, the break, the tea break and the coffee break are great things. And, you wouldn't want to abandon them. But it's not really what fellowship is about. Fellowship is about being involved in the body life of the church on a regular daily basis. And whilst tea breaks and coffee breaks are good in their own right, fellowship in itself is quite different. The fellowship that he's talking about in Hebrews 10, for instance, to fellowship one with another, we need to love one another. And, to love one another is sacrificial giving. It's costly. And Luke 9:23 addresses that, and this is what fellowship is too. A cross is not a piece of jewellery that you wear around your neck. That's what the way the world sees the cross. But the cross for us should mean debt to self. And that takes our eyes off ourselves onto Christ. And, fellowship is important. And to get involved, and we need to ask ourselves, how involved am I, are you, in other people's lives? Love one another as I have loved you. So that puts a different prospect on it as well, doesn't it? As I have loved you. And so that's sacrificial. It's costly. And it's taking up the cross daily and following him. And so that's abiding in him for higher ground, fellowshipping, taking up our cross. That's living on higher ground. And, when we're doing that, it's hard to be so full of self then, isn't it? Prayer is also so vital. I mean, you could make messages on all of these in themselves, but we won't have time, obviously, to do that. But prayer and, Colossians 4:12, if you like to turn to that, is a very important, vital aspect of living on higher ground. And, and this is to do with, Colossians 4:12, and this is to do with Epaphras. And about 6 months ago, I gave a message, just one message entirely on this verse, Epaphras. But it says, Epaphras, who's one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And so we see how important prayer life to Epaphras was. You know, prayer, if we're really trying to strive to live on higher ground, 10-15 minutes prayer in the morning or whenever is really not enough. We should be aiming for far more than that. We can spend far more, 10 times more than that, on our scrolling on phones and so on. And I know I saw there recently that something came up on my phone and says, well, you spent a couple of times, says, well, you spent 1 hour more than you did last week, or another one was 1.5 hours less than you did last week. Well, that should be our aim, to spend less time scrolling on our phones all of the time. And, you know, we can surely give God a little more time than that. I mean, the first 15 minutes of any prayer time should be taken up aside, you know, from by praising God, by thanking him, and bringing the scriptures to bear on that, like all the times Paul talks about creation and so on, and or David talks about, and Paul about our salvation. There's so much to thank him for. And, you know, then to pray for others, and then to pray for oneself as well. And, you know, we should be aiming for maybe not even just half an hour, but an hour in prayer every day. And, you know, the verse doesn't say, you know, Epaphras is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, laboring. He says, greets you, always laboring. And then he doesn't even say that. He says, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand and be complete in all the will of God. And, you know, there's many books written on, well, how do I know the will of God? Well, this is one of the ways, if you want to live on higher ground, to be praying fervently all day. I mean, that's not 24 hours every day. You know, the Holy Spirit will bring things to your mind every so on during the day. And to labour has to do with fervency, as the verse says, but it's an intensity about it and a sincerity about it. And that will help us live on higher ground as well. Romans 1:9, Paul also was a great man of prayer. Romans 1:9, as God is my witness, how continually how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. So Paul always had others on his mind, and the Holy Spirit brought different people at different times, their needs and their cares before him, and he'd bring them to the Lord. As Ephesians 1:16 says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you and for even his problems. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So it's not the good times that are just to pray through and constantly, and it's when things are difficult, in all circumstances, and that's the will of God. He's a sovereign God. So if we're not sure of our gifts, you know, we might say, well, you know, and Paul does tell us to use our gifts, but, you know, many struggle with, well, what is my gift? And I really am into, you know, others, the way they operate, it's just beyond me. But, you know, if you're still not sure of it, God has given you, in prayer, a facility to use the gift of prayer. You know, if you're not sure of them, well then, what service can you render him? We have no excuse, because that's certainly a service we can all render to God every day, without doing a thing other than kneeling before him or sitting before him in prayer. And, you know, that's a great service for God that you can render without even lifting a finger. So everybody is without excuse. And Acts 1, 8, of course, tells us one of the best ways, and this is the leaving prayer, is witnessing for the Lord. And whether it's giving out tracts, door-to-door conversations, whatever way the Lord would have us, people that call to our doors every day. Acts 1:8 says, and it's one of the best ways to live on higher ground as well. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, believers are called to be witnesses. And so that's something we need to be mindful of in our lives too. And if you're somebody is even bedbound, they can pray for others that are witnessing at least. And so all these prayer, abiding, fellowship, witnessing are living on higher ground. And, the rest is to take our eyes. And it all, if we're involved, if we're living out the body life of the church in all of these ways, then it takes our eyes off ourselves, and which hinders us living on higher ground, doesn't it? Another example, and I mentioned it in the heading there, 1 Peter 5:7, is another way of living on higher ground, is casting all your cares on him, for he careth for you. And, we forget one word we leave out there often is the word casting. And, if we cast our cares, throw our cares, when you're casting a stone or you're casting a fishing rod, you want it to go out as far as possible. And so God wants us to cast our cares, not on ourselves, but on him. All our cares is what he says. And that's not just some of them, but all of them. For he does care for you. And a similar verse is there on the church sign at the front garden there. But here's casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Peter had many cares. He must have been, when he was writing his epistle, how many times must he have thought of all the times he let the Lord down? That could have been discouraging for him, but he didn't remain there. He actually moved on to higher ground, and the Lord strengthened him in his walk as a result. And, one thing about Peter too is that, he could have recalled, for instance, every situation, as I said, but the thing was, at the end of the day, the Lord prayed for his faith, and his faith rose to the occasion. And he remembered that the Lord still cared for him, no matter how many times he had let him down. And that's because he cast all his cares on him. And that takes faith as well. We heard this morning there, Joel saying that we often hold on to our cares with a clenched fist. And, that's not what the verse is saying. Or if we're holding on to our cares ourselves, then we won't be living on higher ground. David was no different. He was a murderer, an adulterer, and many other things besides. Many times he expressed lack of faith, numbering his army and so on. But he came to the conclusion that in Psalm 27:18, I would have despaired unless I believed in the goodness of God. And so in spite of all David's wrongs, and there were many and serious, he didn't despair, and he believed in the goodness of God, as Peter did and Paul did, and as we can and should and will do, hopefully. And so I would have despaired unless I had believed in the goodness of God. The other thing is our faith. And, faith, that's really faith in action, isn't it? To cast all our cares on him and not hold them ourselves. And it's basically acknowledging that, I can't deal with this problem. Lord, you know best. And he does. And, the alternative is not to cast our cares on him. And that's only going to lead us to living on lower ground all the time. Lord, David prays it, oh Lord, sometimes we think the same, but, oh Lord, there's no way, and I'm just paraphrasing it, no way you can resolve my problem and, you know, every other problem I could bring before you, but whatever this particular problem is, and we all have problems like that, that we think that, well, I need to resolve this myself, and there's no way you're able to do it, Lord. And, you know, it is terrible, isn't it, for any Christian, including myself, to live a life of defeat and finishing the race as a defeated, joyless Christian. Remember, in Gideon's fight against the enemy, the Lord, out of 32,000, he sent back 31,700 soldiers. Now, these were fighting against 100,000, so the odds are 1,000 to 1. And who can defeat 1,000 people coming against you, never mind one strong man? But he sent them back because they thought that the obstacle was insurmountable and that God couldn't deal with it. But remember, Exodus 15 tells us, our God is a man of war. And, you know, if you can recount to me one situation in the whole of Scripture where we've involved Christ in our situations where he's lost the battle. You know, the only battles Israel lost were the ones that they didn't involve the Lord in. And that should speak for itself, shouldn't it? And so faith is living on higher ground. And just one thought there on faith too, yeah. You know, faith is without, you know, the shield, Ephesians 6 tells us, the shield of faith. And one interesting thing Paul says there is that above all, put on the shield of faith. And so that is something we need to do. And of course, not going back to the prayer issue, but he then covers them all then, all the armour, with prayer. And so they all work hand in hand, like glove in hand, don't they? And so we don't have to fail in these things. And, you know, anxieties in themselves are not wrong. Because the Lord, David himself said in Psalm 78, he says, David tells us that he remembers that we are flesh. And in Psalm 103:14, he tells us he remembers that we are dust. So the Lord doesn't expect us to be perfect. And he knows that we make mistakes and we get tired. And that's why when we go to Calvary, it's not just to leave our sins there, but it's to bring our daily cares there as well. In our experiential walk with the Lord. And so if you're failing or being anxious, just keep fighting by choosing faith again and again and again. And as peace will come, and, you know, pray always, persevering, as Epaphras did as well in prayer. And that's living on higher ground. As well, you know, there are six words in Mark chapter 6, 48, that you needn't turn to, but it's an account of Jesus that we're well familiar with, of Jesus walking on the water. And, you know, but there's six words in that passage. It's repeated in three of the Gospels, but in one of them, it's only one of them, has these six words that he would have, that he would have passed them by. And, you know, if we're what he's intimating here is that if we're not in the turmoil of life, if we refuse to cast our cares in them, if we're not going to be fervently and persevering in prayer, if our faith is not strong enough, if we're going to be lacking in fellowship, all of these things, and we're not going to cast our cares on him. Well, he will pass you by, and he'll go to somebody else, and he'll leave you trudging in the mire and the wallowing in the dirt. And so if we do all of these things, we live on higher ground, as Paul's encouraging us, and Peter too, in so many ways, then he won't pass us by. And that's the wonderful thing about it. You know, I was reminded too of three men in the furnace in Daniel 3, and they were in the furnace, as we know. But again, there's you know, something we don't often see and that can be again overlooked, is that God did not keep them out of the fire, but he met them in the fire. And, you know, that we might not always see, you know, the only things that were burned when they were walking around in that fire were the ropes that bound them. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, well, what am I bound to in life? What's bound? What turmoil is going on in my mind that I'm holding on to, grasping on to? And, you know, the Lord will meet you in the fire, and he mightn't get rid of it immediately, but he's there with you in it. And the ropes that bind you will fall away. And now you can walk free, as those three men did, because it ended up that there wasn't three men, there was four in that fire. And the fourth one was the Lord Jesus. And often it doesn't take, if he doesn't take you out of what bounds you immediately, he'll get into the fire with you in it. And the fires of life may be the only place that you actually meet him. You know, very few people meet the Lord in a serious way when everything is going right. You know, the lovely weather and the go to the beach and, you know, eat, drink and be merry. You know, you very seldom meet God there, don't you? But when the trials come, and some of them may seem insurmountable, that's when you have if you're serious about all these things I've mentioned and living on higher ground, well, that's when you will meet him, and he will deliver you. The another aspect that I found helpful is the mustard seed, which is back in Matthew. If you'd like to turn to it, Matthew 17 rather. And this might help us to live on higher ground as well with regard to our faith. Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And so these are big problems that they had, but nothing is insurmountable for God. But there's a couple of things about that passage that I was just mindful of. You know, the mustard seed, we must remember, is the smallest seed on the face of the earth. And the mustard seed is even smaller than a speck of dust. And it's so small that you could even lose it in the palm of your hand. Looking at it first in the palm of your hand, you'd really have to look for it. And that's how small it is. And so the thing that's often missed in this passage, Jesus doesn't say he's not looking for a mountain of faith. He's just looking for a mere speck of faith here. And, you know, a mere speck of faith can move a mountain. And if a speck of faith can move a mountain, then if we're abiding in all of the things that the message is speaking about, then, you know, our faith will even increase and nothing's impossible. And you will find great liberty and freedom and ability to go on and walk with the Lord and glorify him. But notice also this, and it makes all the difference. As I said, he didn't ask for that mountain of faith to remove the trials, just a speck. And it's big enough to remove that mountain, whatever it is, in each of our lives. So never assume that your mountain is bigger than anyone else's. Everyone has their own mountain, and it's the mountains the Lord is interested in. And an interesting verse earlier on in the chapter is in verse 7 and 8. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, see, there they are lifting up their eyes. That's lifting up on higher ground. They saw no one but Jesus only. And how often we miss that, don't we? You know, the apostles were having a problem here because they have taken their eyes off Jesus only. And they had their eyes on the problem only. And they were beginning to trust in themselves. And that's why they couldn't cast out even the demons prior to the verse on the mustard seed. So it's keeping our eyes on Jesus only, that singleness of heart and mind that strengthens our faith. So I think we leave it there and ask the Lord to help us to address these things in our lives and glorify Him in our daily walk and live on higher ground. And so, Father, we just plead with You, Lord, to, you know, none of us will remember everything have tried to teach us this morning, but Your Holy Spirit can help us recall any specific help that You have been trying to give us, Lord. And I just pray that You will do that for each one of us so that we can go away and live on higher ground. In Jesus' name, amen.